God told me something, and I have mentioned it to preachers over the country. And everyone I've mentioned to, they looked at me and said, well, my God, that's it. That's it. You know what's the matter with America? You know what's the matter with our churches? Huh? You know what's the matter with the revivals? You know what's the matter with the homes today? You say, well, nothing. It's as good as it ever been. Are you kidding? Where'd you come from anyway? How many believe our nation, if it continues to go in the same direction, at the same speed, having the same results that it's been going the last 10 years, if it goes the same way the next 10 years, how many wonder what in the world is going to happen? How many would hate for your nation to go in the same direction that it's been going for the last 10 years? And of the tremendous change that has undergone the American way of life, you'd hate to be living around in this nation 10 years from now. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to go at the same rapid speed. Because the last 10 years, it has gradually picked up momentum, and the last year, it has gone tremendously faster than the year before. That year was faster than the year before that. And it's like a snowball coming down a tremendous, steep, long mountain. The snow is heavy and deep, and every time the snowball turns around once, it's bigger. Whenever it gets bigger, it goes faster. And the faster it goes, the more territory it covers. And every time it turns, it gets bigger. And the bigger it gets, the faster it goes, the bigger it gets. And the bigger it gets, the faster it goes. There's snow, there's a snowball. And there's only one common thing to do is sit back and say, look out, there she goes, brother. Nobody's going to stop it. Something's going to happen when it hits the bottom. You know what? The snowball got out of control. I'm going to tell you something straight to your face. This nation is not getting. This nation has got out of control. We do not know how to control the youth of America. We do not know how to control the tremendous financial things that is stressing around us. And all of our leaders are saying, my God, what will happen overnight if our debt goes higher? It's going into the tens of billions, and overnight we can be bankrupt. And they don't know what to do to stop it because it's getting worse by the day. Sin is out of control. Disregard for God is out of control. The press is out of control. Free speech is out of control. Our nation is warped. Our homes are warped. Our offices are warped. And brother, our thinking is warped. And the last stronghold, the churches of Jesus Christ, are warped. You say, are you a pessimist? Got a doctor, pay him good money. Say, doctor, I'm paying you, tell me what's wrong. Got cancer, you'll die. If I say you got a headache, you'll be all right tomorrow, a little upset stomach. You feel better. I want you to feel better. So here's what I'll tell you. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing much. Just this little pill will fix you up. Just a little minor stomach ache. You'll be all right tomorrow. You go out the door. He's lied to you. You're going to be dead in a few days. You appreciate that? Oh, he's an optimist, not a pessimist. He's a liar. He's one that's telling the truth. I'm asking you, am I telling you the truth? Am I telling you the truth? Brother, we've got some good folk in America, and if it wasn't for the praying men and women that have a conviction and a standard in America, God would have destroyed this country many years ago. I love it. And brother, if there's one American that loves God, it's me. I love America. I love my country. But I'm going to tell you something. We're headed for something if we don't do something quick. I've overlooked this thing. I've looked at it. And I've wanted the remedy. I've preached everything in the book. I've tried to get some people straightened out, and no matter what under heaven you preach, they got a certain thing they're going to do. They've got a certain time they're going to go to church, certain time they're going to stay out and do other things. They've got a certain time they're going to pray. They've got a certain time that they're going to do everything. If they don't want to teach Sunday school class, they're just plain not going to teach. If they don't want to come to morning service, they just will not come. If they want to come to 11 o'clock service and don't want to come to Sunday school, they just will not come. They know today what they're going to do next week. Why? Because they've made up their mind. You'll say, God, is this what you want? No, that's not what I want. That's not what I want at all. You like that? No, I don't like it. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it's been. That's the way it's going to be. This is the way I live my life. Day by day, I come in. This is the way I spend my hours. This is the way I spend my nights. This is the way I spend my extra time. This is the amount of time to give to you. Figure it out. This is the amount of time I read my word. This is the time that I close myself in. Now, if that's not enough, just check it over. He'll say, I don't like it. It's not right. And it's leading you in the wrong way. It's not getting the job done in the church, in your home, in your life. It's not getting the job done. Well, I'm sorry. I've got a will. That was that way last week, last month, last year. It's going to be that way next week. I've got a way. Everywhere I go over America, I talk to preachers. And they'll say, Brother Everett, what are we going to do? The sinners, you can't get them out. They've got a television program. Or they've got something else. And you can preach on the unpardonable sin. Turn the page. Preach on crossing the deadline. Put it in the paper. They'll just turn the paper. Pay no attention to it. We're going to pray for the sick and miracles are going to be performed. Pass it on. They're not coming out to see miracles. They're not coming out to hear a sin on prophecy or a message on prophecy. I say there's a few come. There's a few. But I'm going to say this is something that it's not a revelation to you. Over the whole wide nation, every preacher everywhere I go is saying, Brother Hibbert, what are you going to do to shake the world and the unregenerate and the sinners and get them out? You're not going to do it with a program we've had until God can do one thing. And that's the one thing that God told me. I wondered what the answer was. God told me why it was that way. And when I tell you this, I want you to let it apply to you. He said, Son, it's because they have a way of life and they refuse to let it be readjusted. They refuse to let it be changed. They have willed things as they are. In their financial status or setup, they have willed everything just as is. Maybe God's not in a million miles of it and God's not pleased with it. But they're not changing it. That's the way they've been doing it. In their home life, among their children, what they have in their homes and what their home represents, it's a way of life. It was that way yesterday, last week, last month, and a year before that. There is a way of life in the home. And if Christ came in and you'd say, glad to see you, Jesus, check, follow me, go through the house, see everything we do, what we do and when we do it, how we do everything, and tell me if you grade the papers, how much do I make? What grade do I make? Is it pleasing with you? Are we talking about the right thing? In this house, how do we spend our time? Do we give enough time to you, Lord? Do we go to the services as we should? Do we carry the load for the nation and for the church like we should? My God, we have a way of life. What we're doing today, we did yesterday, last month, the month before, and we'll do it next month. And brother, the way of life we have is not pleasing to God. It needs to be changed. God said, that's the problem. They'll come to the altar and they'll pray. They'll go to the prayer room and pray an hour. But they won't change their way of life. Certain ways of thinking, just keep having certain ways of thinking. Certain convictions, God, you know, things are wrong, and God's not pleased with it. And if everybody else did the same thing, church would go on the rocks overnight. But you'll say, well, I know it, but I've always done it. I just feel like doing it. It's a way of life. It's surprising how much religion and religious you can put in your ways of life and yet leave God out of so much of it. I said that God said to me, the trouble in the church, the trouble with the nation, it's because God's own people have a way of life, and it's their way of life, it's their thinking. Flesh comes first, self is predominant, and self rules. And I'm not permitted to have my perfect will in their life. If I don't like Sister Jones and I'm unaccustomed to criticizing things, I did it yesterday, I did it a month ago, I did it 6 months ago and a year ago, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's my way of life, and that's the way of hell. Let's check our way of life, and if our way of life doesn't coincide with God's divine plan, we've got a God that's coming on the scene and going to reckon with us. God has His will in our life. We're not our own. I don't care what this fellow does with his pocketbook. Carries it on his hip, it's his. He can take it out and throw his cards every direction and reach in there and take some money out. But then he says, you see what I've done, Brother Hibbert? Come here a minute. And he reaches back, and about the time he gets that button, about the time he gets a hand right on his neck. Because he's trifling with something that's my property, and I don't want him getting in and taking that billfold out and doing what he wants to with it, because that's my category that's coming down my alley. The Bible said you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And if you go to heaven, you're mine. You mustn't say you'll do this, that, never say if the Lord's will. For you're bought with a price. Your body is a temple of God, whose temple ye are. Belong to God. God's got you. When the devil comes along and said, I've got a way of life for them. I've got a way I want them to spend their time. I don't want them to be spending so much time for you on this and on that and on that. Like some folks say this morning, well, I couldn't think of teaching a class. That's not my way of life. I come to church and pay my dues and God says to you to teach a class, your way of life is teaching a class. If God says, get over to the morning service in the morning, be there Tuesday morning and be there Wednesday morning, be there Thursday morning. I want you to carry the load. Hundreds of requests are coming in daily. I want you to carry the load. You'll say, who do you think you're talking to, God? You're talking to Sister Sally Jones. I know who I'm talking to. Well, me go to the morning service. Don't you know I've got a way of life? That wouldn't fit in with my way of life. He said, I didn't say you had a way of life. I said when you surrendered your all, lock, stock, and barrel your mind, and now your life is my life. Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm dead, I'm buried, I'm through, I'm out, I'm finished, I give up, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, I move, I have my being. Not I, but Christ in me. The life I now live is not my way of life. I crucified it. What I do now, where I go now, what time I get there now. You know, if God had His way, and you'll say, God, what's your way of life for me this morning? He'd say, get yourself dressed and get out there for Sunday school and be on time. I know that's what God would say. That's His way of life. What? That's not my way of life. I come in at 11 o'clock. God said, that's your way of life, but not mine. If everybody came in at 11, there would be no church. Go on the rocks. I know the church is the main thing. But brother, let me tell you, when you get so far promoted and so super spiritual that you don't need the Bible teaching that we get here, it must be that you're hiding your precious self away at least an hour or something every day, searching the Word and reading it. And you must have an awful knowledge of God's Word that you're so far advanced that you don't need the teaching of God's Word. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, if you want anything from God, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Come on. I said, listen, there's a lot of people that say, well, now, just a minute, God, it's not my way of life to get up and get out to Sunday school. He said, your way of life has led you wrong. It's caused my body to suffer. It's caused somewhere. Come down and say, Doc, what's wrong? Anything you say, that's a go. Well, you've got this, that, and the other. You have all these prescriptions. If you're not better, you have to come to the hospital. You have more. That's it. That's it. Everything changes. Honey, we'll have to change this way of life. We'll have to change meeting you tomorrow. I've got this. I've got that. Oh, self. We're also love for self. We don't want a pain to hit us. And the doctor said so-and-so. We change our way of life for a lot of other things, but we don't like to change it for God. God said, wait a minute. I'm not satisfied that way of life. If you get a pain, if there's any sick among you, call the elders, let them pray. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and God will raise them up. That's God's way of life. God wants to heal you. His son paid for it. And by whose stripes you were healed, it's God's will to heal you when you're sick. Not against doctors. They're an asset. Many people didn't have faith. They go to them and they're a help. But brother, I'm going to tell you, there's many of them that loses their case. And they die. Because the doctors can't help them. Jesus Christ has never lost a case. Never has. If Jesus Christ wants you to live, every doctor in the nation said you're going to die. Jesus said they're not going to live. Brother, you're going to live. But if God said you're going to die, if you get the best doctors in Mayo Clinic, the best doctors the world can afford, you will die. And you will not live if Jesus said you're going to die. I'm so glad that he has all power in heaven and earth. He's the only one. But he purchased our healing, and he said the prayer of faith will save the sick. Right here the last few weeks we've seen God where the doctor said this can never be done. That can never be done. You haven't eaten years and years and years without terrible pain and suffering. But they're here this morning enjoying it. Just 1 month ago, come forward, God healed them. Not only that, a condition of the eye. God healed that. Everybody you see mention them said that person's a new person. What happened? A new person. Why? Jesus healed them. Jesus touched them. Jesus healed them of cancer. Jesus healed them of tuberculosis. Jesus healed them of arthritis. How many sitting here this morning, you were sick and suffering. You know you were sick and Jesus healed you. Put your hand up everywhere. Praise God. Look at that. All over the place. What I'm saying is this. Many times our way of life doesn't please God. We let anything disrupt the way of life that God has for us. If your job disrupts God's way, God will never excuse you in the judgment. You'll say, well, I've just got to do so and so. You know one thing you can do, and God requires you to do it? If you know that your job is affecting you, he holds you duty bound, if you're not quitting right then, to spend every day of your life a certain amount of time in earnest prayer, asking God to deliver you from that job and give you an oven so that you can serve God. He expects you to do that. And if you get down there and pray enough, you'll come to find out that it's surprising how much more you can give God and still keep the job you got. We make things a crutch. We make things an excuse. God said to me, the trouble is, they have their way of life. You know what your way of life was this last week? Come to church. How much would it take to break your coming to church? You know, you're so adjusted. Most any little thing affect you. Well, this come up and I couldn't come. That was the day, no matter what come up, you still come. You put God first. How many believe God said to love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and all your strength? He said, keep God first. He said, God's a jealous God. How many believe that when you had your first love, brother, you had a way of life? And when we lose that first love, we change our way of life, and God's dissatisfied with it. Now, I know one thing, God's not wrong. God said the trouble with not only the church, but with the world, they have their way of life. I said to Brother Jerry Bernard, he said, Brother Hibbard, what a sermon. He said, you know what? There are certain ones in my church, I have preached everything in that book to try to get them to come Sunday morning and Sunday night. No matter what I do, they have a way of life. They'll come Sunday morning, they'll never come Sunday night. They'll never come Wednesday night. There's others that'll come Sunday morning and Sunday night, and no matter what I preach and what I do, you can't get them to come out Wednesday. There's others that'll come Sunday morning, and they do come Wednesday night. And no matter what comes or goes, they're going to come Wednesday night. He said there's others that come Sunday morning and miss one Sunday morning. They'll come a Sunday night and they'll miss a Sunday night. They'll miss Wednesday night and miss it again and come a Wednesday night, miss it two or three times and come again. They do it all the time. It's the same ones. They've got a way of life. My Sunday school has a way of life. My department heads have a way of life. My church has a way of life. My evangelistic service at night. My Wednesday night has a way of life. The prayer services have a way of life. And he said, God knows that he's certainly not pleased with all their ways of life. I'm dissatisfied with them. And I'm going to ask you, you have a way of life if you've got good sense. Unless you're crazy, you have a way of life. I'm going to ask you, is God satisfied with your way of life? Could you check it and say, okay, I see what you do with your time. You give me the amount I want. You repent earnestly and sincerely of everything you do to grieve my heart and sin. You get right down and you repent. You keep yourself in connection with me, or you don't do it. You can easily leave things undone and not think one thing about asking God to forgive you. You'll go to hell just as quick on neglecting a thing as you do a thing. God said you'll go to hell. In fact, the business says, he says in his word, that the ones that he said would go into the lake of fire and be tormented forever and ever, it wasn't one thing on earth they did. Mm-mm. Everything that he sent them to hell for was things that they should have done that they neglected. Read it yourself in Matthew 25. He didn't mention one thing they'd done. He didn't say you cussed, you swore, you lied, you went to church, you went to honky-tonk, you went down to the drive-in, or you took a bottle of beer, or you went out here and you shot dice, or you went out here and cussed somebody out, or you got mad and held a grudge in your heart. He didn't say one thing of what they did. He said there are things that I require you to do, and you've neglected them, and to hell you go, into the lake of fire where the devil and his angels are. I prepared it for them, but you're going in there, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment in the lake of fire because they failed to do what they should have done. It wasn't their way of life. Brother, you can make a lot of steps, but when it comes to changing your way of life, it takes a touch from God.